Today's shiur is Masech Tasukah, Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, the last words. The Mishnah taught us, V'lahaya Chatzar B'Yerushalayim, there was no Chatzar in Yerushalayim that was not illuminated from the menorah, from the menorahs that we discussed at the end of the shiur yesterday, burning in the Azara. Tana. Says the Braisa in describing how great the lighting was from this menorah. Isha hoitza bereres chitim, a woman could sift wheat flour, la'or shal beis ha'sheva, from the light of the menorahs of the beis ha'sheva. So Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that says that although the rule is that there is no me'ilah when one benefits either from kol mara v'reach, the sound, the illumination, or the smell of hagdish, but apparently an issur there is. So ask Tosfos, how could women have used the illumination of the menorahs of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva to sift flour? You're not allowed to have hanah from hagdish. So Tosfos says what the Gemara means, not that they actually sifted flour with that light. It was so light that they could have sifted, but they actually never necessarily did so. Another pshat that I saw is that they sifted flour that they were going to use for hegdish. They sifted hegdish flour that they were going to use for carbon minchas. Another teretz that I saw is that the Bavli doesn't necessarily agree with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi holds as an isser, but the Bavli holds that there is no Isser. And yet another teretz is that Chazal said, knew that there's so much illumination coming off the lights from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Given that there was so much illumination, they recognized that it's impossible that people outside of the Beis HaMikdash would not have Hanor, would not benefit from that light. It's impossible to walk by so much light and not benefit from it. And that's why even though normally there may be an Isser to benefit from the light of Hegdish, here that Isser wasn't in effect. So we learned in the Mishnah that Chassidim v'Anshei Maisa would dance in front of the people, in front of Menorah, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tana Rabbanan, Yesh Mem Oimrim, there were people that would sing, Ashrei Yiludaseinu, how wonderful was our youth, Shloi Baisha as Ziknoseinu, that even when we became old, we kept with still Chassidim. Eil Chassidim Anshei Maisa. So the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara is the people on the highest Madrega said that we were Chassidim, Rashi says, Chassidim Yikara. We were always acting appropriately. So Mefarshim explained, the Yaakov explains, we know that the Gemara says, Ziknei Tamid Chachomim, Koman Shez Maskinan, Daton Mesiyasheves Aleihem. Tamid Chachomim, as they grow older, they only get better. I saw another question the Mefarshim asked, how could people say this about themselves? That people are boasting, that they're so great, that they were good when they were young, and good when they were old? So I saw based on the Gemara we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned that it's impossible for anyone to get to a Madrega without Siyata D'Shmaya. So when somebody says that he was a chassid his whole life, what he's really announcing is, it's not me, it's all Siyata D'Shmaya. So it's not considered that they're boasting. Continues the Gemara. Yesh Men Olimrim, others would say, Ashri Zukunoseinu, wonderful is our old age, Shekofres Yeladaseinu, that we overturned what we did when we were young. Eilu Bala Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva, who maybe didn't act appropriately when they were young, were announcing, at least when we got old, we acted appropriately. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, what is the Ashrei? What is there to praise that they didn't act great when they were young? So I saw a beautiful pshat. Ultimately, people do tshuva. But to do tshuva when somebody is old and weak is not a madrega. What were these people doing? They were singing and dancing full of energy. Ashrei, that's something to praise, that when somebody still, with the prime of his youth, with all of his energy, using that energy for Avodas Hashem. I saw another pshat, that really this was all one and the same group singing. And what they were saying was like this. They were chassidim meyikara. They were always acting appropriately. But even a person who acts appropriately has to do tshuva. Because every day he's supposed to grow in avodas Hashem and do tshuva on the day before that it wasn't this madrega. So the chassidim themselves were the balei tshuva that acted better and were balei tshuva constantly growing in their avodas Hashem. Eilu ve'eilu oimrim. Everybody would say, Asher mishaloi chot, best is somebody who didn't do avera, umishachot yoshuv v'yimcholoi, should do tshuva and alav kapora. So Ben Yoyod explains, why did they say this? Because it was already after Rosh Hashanah, and after Yom Kippur. But they were saying, even if somebody didn't take the opportunity in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to do tshuva, they still have an opportunity to do tshuva on Hashanah Rabbah, and by Musaf and Shmini Atzeres. Tanya, the Gemara says a braisa, when he used to rejoice by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, Omar Kane. This is what he used to say. If I'm here, Hakol Kan. Then everybody's here. And there's a very famous Gemara, and there's two basic approaches in the Rishonim how to look at this Gemara. Rashi's approach is that he's not speaking about himself. He's speaking about the Shechina. If the Shechina is here, and they say, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, the gematria of Aleph Dalad Nun Yud is 65, which is the same gematria as Hillel. If the Shechin is here, Hakol Kan, then it's worthwhile. Vim Einani Kan, if the Shechin is not here, then what's the point? And the Mefarshim explain on a very fundamental basis that the Shechina, they would dance, as we just explained, so much by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, and people may not act appropriately during the dancing. So Hillel was telling them, watch out, the Shechin is here. You have to remember where you are. Another pshat that I saw from Meir Arik in the Tal Torah, he says that there was the Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, regarding those that stood in the Azara, oimdim tzfufim, they stood tzfufim, crowded, mishtachim revokim. There was a miracle that when they bent down, everybody had enough place. So it says, that is the miracle of the Shechina. That where the Shechina is, there's always enough room. Emani kan, if the Shechina is here, hakol kan, then there's enough room for everybody. Vim einani kan, but if the Shechina is not here, mikan, there isn't enough room for so many people congregating in Yerushalayim and in the Beis HaMikdash. But Tysus' approach to the Gemara is a very different approach. Tysus' approach to the Gemara is that Hillel was speaking about himself. If I'm here, great. If I'm not here, who's here? And of course, all the Mefarshim ask specifically about Hillel, who is known as the great Onov. Here he's saying that he's the most important person in Klal Yisrael. So I saw a number of pshatim. The Aflah says that actually what Hillel was speaking about, Hillel was speaking about his modesty. He's saying, Imanikan, if someone as low of a madrega as I is here, has room in the Beis HaMikdash, Hakol Kan, then everybody has place, because everybody's greater than me. Vim Einani Kan, yet if we're going to be concerned that who are we to approach Hashem, then Mikan, there's nobody to approach Hashem, he's greater than the greatest Malach. Another pshat that I saw from the Chart Kvar Rebbe, he says it this way, he says there's a famous story, it's attributed to a lot of people. There was somebody davening Shemon Esrei, and after he finished Shemon Esrei, the Rav of the Shul went over to him and said, Shalom Aleichem. He said, Shalom Aleichem, where is I? He said, I could tell from the way you damaged Shemon Esrei, you traveled around the whole world during this Shemon Esrei. He says, Im ani kan, if when one is serving Hashem, his ani, he has the right kavana, hakol kan, then that's the way to serve Hashem. Vim ein ani kan, but when you're davening or you're serving Hashem, your mind is all over the place. Mikan, what kind of avodas Hashem that is. And a third pshat that I saw from the Satmar Rebbe, we know that throughout Shas, the halacha is always like Hillel. The machlokes Hillel and Shammai is like Hillel. So Hillel epitomizes limud haTorah. Imani kan, if somebody learns Torah, hakol kan, then he could come to serve Hashem. Vim einani kan, if somebody wants to say that he's an oivet Hashem without Torah, that you can't be an oivet Hashem without learning Torah. Hu ayoyma, he used to say, where I want to go, Ragli my leiches asi. My feet take me by themselves. And as Mepharshim explained, the Medrash says regarding David HaMelech, b'chayoyim v'yoyim, every morning David HaMelech would wake up and say, l'beis plon eni oilech, I'm going here, I'm going there. V'ragli my leiches asi, l'beis haKnesses, l'beis haMedrash. My feet for themselves would go to the beis haKnesses and l'beis haMedrash. And that's what he'll say. One has to attune himself to avodas Hashem. Says Hillel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im tovu al baisi, if you will come to my home, ani ova al beisecha, I will come to your home. Im ata loy tovu al baisi, ani loy ova al beisecha. If you don't come to me, I won't come to you. Shenemar, b'chamokam ashkir shmi, ova elecha v'rechticha. So Mepharshim explained, we have to bring God into our lives. And if we bring God into our lives, in everything we do, then we will see bracha. So this is the way the Mashiach explains this Gemara. He saw a skull floating in the water. And the skull he recognized was the head of a famous murderer. Oma, al datfus, because you used to kill other people, atfucha, then ultimately this happened to you. Umatifich yitafud, what happened to you, the people that did it to you, ultimately will happen to them. The Arizal says that this Gemara, Hillel, was a nitzitz. He was a derivative of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rabban Shekhal Yisrael, so too, as we just said, was Hillel. And Hillel was speaking about Paroi. And he said, Paroi, we know, terrorized Klal Yisrael, killed the children of Klal Yisrael. And he says, what you did to Klal Yisrael ultimately happened to you and to your people. Says the Gemara. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Ragluy de bar inish, einan arivim bay. A person's feet are his own guarantors. La'asa de mitboy, in the place a person is supposed to be, tamun mavlin yasei. That's where he ends up. Says the Gemara story. Hanitat kishoy. So pash pshat kishoy means people who are black. Rashi says they weren't necessarily black. The Gemara, when it wants to indicate how beautiful somebody is, calls him a kushi. And the always the lomdus is makushi mishunaba oira, just like a black person has a different color, as this person was outstanding. So these two people were outstanding people. Have a koi kame shloima, they were in Shloima's cabinet. A lichoref achyoi b'nei shishim, soy from the Shloima hava. They were Shloima Melech's secretaries. Yom echad chazi l'chamovis, one day Shloima Melech met the Melech Hamovis, davaka atzuf, and he sees that he's upset. Amalei Amayitzivus, why are you upset? Amalei, the kaboy minei hani tati kishoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the job that it tamed the time for these two people to pass away. The Yosfi Hacha, Shloima Melech hearing this, and again this is the way the Mashiach explains the Gemara, he thought he's going to outsmart the Malach HaMavis. So Masrinu L'Sirim, he gave over these two people to shade them, Shadrinu L'Mechuzah D'Luz, to take them to Luz. Because Luz, as we know, is a city that the Gemara says the Malach HaMavis has no power over the city of Luz. The Gemara says he has no power over there, and people, when they, so to speak, don't want to live anymore, leave the city, and that's how they die. So he wanted to beat the Malach HaMavis. Kimata L'Mechuzah D'Luz, when they arrived to Mechuzah D'Luz, they didn't get right into the city, Shchivu, they died. L'Macha Chazi Malach HaMavis Kabodach. The next day, Shlomo HaMelech meets the Malach HaMavis, and he's in a great mood. Amalei, my b'tachis, why in such a good mood? Amalei, ba'asa d'boy minoy, tamen shedrin sinu. I was given the job of taking them away from the world, but I was also told not only when is the time they should go, but also the place where they have to be. And I didn't know how they'll end up being in this vicinity. And you played right into my hand. Miyat basach Shlomo va'amar, regloy d'bar inish in a riven bay, people's feet are their guarantors. Where they're supposed to be, that's where they end up. So, the Mepharshim asks, obvious question. Everybody's time, when they have to leave, the world comes. But what's the difference if they would die where they were, or they would die in Mechuzah D'Luz? So one pshat is that when a person dies, it causes a hesiris. It causes people to think and do tshuva. Where a person dies is preordained. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that this place needs his Osiris. And that's why where they die is important, just like when they die. another pshat I saw. The Medrash says that Adam HaRishon was created from earth. Adam Yisoidim Yofa V'Soifim Ma'afur. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took earth from all the places around the world. Why? Because he knew that people live in the entire world and they die and they're buried in the ground so that they should be able to go back to the ground that they come from. And every person, so to speak, the earth they're made out of is made out of the earth from a specific place. So they have to die in the place from where they were made out of that they could be buried in that area. And I saw a very interesting tshuva, la'loch l'maisa. There was a person who prepared for himself, he bought a plot where he'll be buried. And then he died in a different place. And for whatever reason, they couldn't bring him to where he had bought the plot. And they buried him where he died. Now the question was that plot that he reserved for himself, could it be used for someone else? So the Paiskim say, based on our Gemara, that nobody is ever sure now when they're going to die, or where they're going to die, or where they're going to be buried. So that reservation is not a full-fledged reservation, and that space could be used for someone else if it wasn't used for the person who reserved it. Continues the Gemara. Tanya. Amar Lava Rav Shimon Gamliel. They said regarding Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kishay Samech Simchas Beis HaSheva, when he would rejoice at the Simchas Beis HaSheva, Hainoytel Shmaina Avuki Shal Or, he would take 8 torches, the Zarek Achas from Noytel Achas, he would juggle them, Vein Negus Zubazu, and they didn't touch. When he would bow down in the base of Migdash, he would put his 2 thumbs on the ground, and that's how he would bend down and kiss the earth, the floor, get up. Nobody could duplicate this to be able to have only his face stick touch the ground, no other part of his body. And this is in Gemara, many times we find that people would do Kida in the base of Migdash. That's what Kida is all about, being able to bend down, just your face touching, no other part of your body. Says the Gemara, Levi Achva Kida Kamei the Rebbe. Levi once demonstrated in front of Rebbe how Kida is performed, the Itla. And he became lame. He couldn't do it right. Asked the Gemara for Hagar Malay, is that what caused him to become lame, because he didn't successfully show kida. A person should be careful not to speak strongly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shrei Adam, Godel, Hitiach Dvarim Klapim Ala. There was once somebody that spoke strongly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vitla, and he became lame. Umanu, Levi. And Rashi quotes, what did he say against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi quotes the Gemara Masech the Tainus, Daf Chof Heyom and Aleph. The Gemara says there that once there was a drought, and Levi said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alisa v'yoshavtu chabamorim, you went up and you're in Shemayim, v'yata mashgiach al benecha, and you're not paying attention to the needs of your children who need rain. So the Gemara says, we see that he became lame because he spoke that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because he demonstrated Kida. Answers the Gemara, Hava Hagarmalei. He spoke this way. And then he didn't get punished. But when the opportunity came up that he did something that put him into danger, showing this Kida, that's when he got blemished. He got this, became lame. So the Aruch Lener explains the Gemara the following way. Very deep shot. He says, what does Kida represent? We said, what is Kida? That you only put your face on the ground. What's the point? As we just said, it's very difficult to accomplish. What's the point of just putting your face on the ground? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always considered that he looks at us with his face. Yor Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yichunecha, Yis Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yosem L'cha Shalom. We speak about the Panam of Hashem, which represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always paying attention to us and always watching over us and doing what's best for us. And when a person does Kida, that's what he's saying. What did Levi say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't watching over Klal Yisrael. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying is, you say that I don't watch over Klal Yisrael, so how do you show Kida? Doesn't Kida represent that I do watch Klal Yisrael? And that's why when he did Kida, he became wounded. Says the Gemara, Levi have Matayel Kamei the Rebbe, Betamni Sakini. Levi would juggle with 8 knives in front of Rebbe. So Rav Chanan explains, what are the 8 knives? So he says the Rebbe was the Nasi. And Rebbe had a very difficult life. First of all, he wasn't a healthy person. And besides that he wasn't a healthy person, he was always worried about Klal Yisrael. So what Levi was doing by juggling these knives was he was showing Rebbe, you know, when juggling knives, it's a little dangerous. He's saying, Klal Yisrael is out of all danger because we have you as a leader. You prevent and you protect us from all danger. I saw interesting Shaila Aloch Lemaisa. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses the Shaila. Is one, allow, you know, you go to weddings and you see the boys juggling knives and they juggle fire. Are they allowed to do it? It's a shtikl sakana. So he says, just like Levi did it, he was, obviously knew what he was doing. If it's l'simchas chas v'kala, it's permitted. Says the Gemara. Shmuel kamei shvar malka, Shmuel in front of shvar malka, betamya mazgi chamre, would used to juggle 8 barrels, 8 glass pitchers of wine. So again, Darachon there explains. Wine, we know, spills out. Glass easily breaks. What Shmuel was saying to shvar malka, who was the leader, he's saying, you don't have to worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Arichas Yom V'Shonim, just like this glass doesn't break and this wine doesn't spill, you and your kingdom will last. Abaye kameh the rabbah, betamni beya. Abaye would juggle 8 eggs, v'amlei be'arba beya. 4 eggs and they didn't break. What does this represent? Eggs, says the Aruch Haner, represents golus, because eggs roll very easily. What Abai was saying, you know how Klal Yisrael are able to survive Golus? Because we have leaders like you, Rabbah, that even when we're in Golus, we're able to survive the Golus. Tanya. Amr b'shubach hananya. K'shinu sumechem simchus pei sheva. When we used to have the simchus pei sheva, lo re'inu shina b'aneinu. We didn't see any sleep. So the Chasam Sofer asks, whoever saw sleep. When you sleep with your eyes closed. So he says, a very powerful vart. He says, when we were up, when a person is up and he wastes his time, it's like he's sleeping. Yoshev batel k'yoshen dami. Wasting your time is like sleeping. Lo re'inu shina b'aneinu. We used all our time constructively. It wasn't like sleeping. What was the schedule of the day? Ketzad. Shor rishon atam shel shachar. The first hour, first we brought the come tam shel shachar. M'sham l'tfilah, from there we went to daven. From here the Pais can point out that even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they were davening. Misham l'kavim musaf, then they would bring the kavim musaf. Misham l'tfilas musafim, then they would daven musaf. Misham l'beis hamedrash, then they would go learn. Misham l'achil v'shtir, then they would eat. Misham l'tfilas milcha, then they would daven mencha. Misham l'tamach ben abayim, then they went to tamach ben abayim. Mikan ve'elach l'simchus beis hashoev, and then they went to the simchus beis hashoev. So as we said, they used to daven. What was the nusach atfila? So I saw that the Tashbat says, we daven to sechzena einenu b'shufchu l'tzim b'rachamim. We daven that the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt. And they daven that the Beis HaMikdash remain and not, chas v'shalom, anything happen to it. The Pais can make an interesting observation in this Seder. When it came to Shachris, first they brought the Karm Tamut Shal Shachar, and then they daven Shachris. When it came to Mincha, first they daven Mincha, and then they brought the Karm Tamut. Why? So the Pashta Pshat is because the halach is that the first thing that should be done every day is the Tamid, and the last thing that should be done every day is the Tamid. So that's why you could only daven after the Tamid Shal Shachar, and you had to daven Mincha before the Tamid Shal Berabayim. Ask the Ramam Panu, if that's the way it was, people who say Karbonis, by Mincha, some people say by Shachar, some people say by Mincha, some people never say. So the people that say by Shachar, so we say Kabbonis and then we daven. That's the same order as was in the Beis HaMikdash. But why by Mincha do we, the people who say Kabbonis, first say Kabbonis and then Shmon Esrei? If they're following the order in the Beis HaMikdash, they should first say Shmon Esrei and then say Kabbonis. So he actually says what you should do is say Ashrei, then Kabbonis, and then Shmon Esrei. But that's not the minig. So why? So they say a whole different pshat. Mincha could be davened 6.5 hours into the day. Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, they used to delay late into the day. Why did they delay it late into the day? Because they want anybody who had brought in a carbon had to bring it before the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim.
So that's why mincha, they daven as soon as they can. Kabbonis, they wanted a delay so they could bring other kabbonis. There's a Rebbe Akiva Eiger. We quoted this Rebbe Akiva Eiger in Masechta Shkolim. Akiva Eiger says in Masechta Shkolim that perhaps women don't have to daven musaf. Why? Because carbon musaf represents a carbon seber that was brought from the machzis shekel, and women didn't participate in machzis shekel. So they want to bring a proof against Rebbe Akiva Eiger from this Gemara, because Rabbi Shua Bechananya was a Levi. A Levi didn't participate in machzis shekel either. Yet we see he daven musaf. So we see that even if you don't give the machzis shekel, you still daven musaf. So those that want to defend Rebbe Akiva Eiger say you can't compare a Levi to a woman. A Levi didn't give a machzis shekel because he didn't have to donate a machzis shekel. You know what he donated? He donated his time. Because Levi'im worked in the Beis HaMikdash. So instead of giving money, they gave time. Women who didn't give not money nor time may be exempt, and there's no proof from a Levi. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this possible? That they didn't sleep for 3 days. If somebody makes a shvu that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, we give him malchus because it's a shvu shav. It's impossible to go without sleeping, and we say go to sleep right away. Doesn't have to go to sleep right away. He can. Says we didn't really sleep. If we took a nap, one leaning on the other. How did they take a nap outside the sukkah? It's sukkahs. So the answer is, like we learned, oistig mitzvah, there was shluchay mitzvah, they don't have to sit in the sukkah. So here we see that if somebody makes a shvuah that he doesn't sleep for 3 days, it's a shvuah shav. So I saw machloikus rishonim. What's going to be the din if somebody makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat for a month? It's also impossible to live without eating for a month. Some people, it takes a lot less. So what's going to be the halacha? So the Rishonim say, it's machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it's just like sleeping, since it's virtually impossible. Others say you can't compare eating to sleeping. Sleeping, a person will fall asleep. He can't remain up, he'll fall asleep. Eating, it's not that he automatically will eat. It's not something that will automatically happen, and therefore you can't compare eating to sleeping. I saw a very interesting Shaila, la'aloch l'maisa. Somebody was appointed to be a shomer. He was asked to be a courier of money or jewelry from point A to point B, and he fell asleep on the plane in the car, and while he fell asleep, somebody pickpocketed him and took out the jewelry. And they came to the Torah, you didn't do your job properly. So he says, the Gemara says you can't control sleep. So the answer is, you can't control sleep for 3 days, but it doesn't mean that as soon as you sit down, you should fall asleep. And he was mechuy of money. In fact, the Pesach can discuss, Rachmanu Tzlan. Let's say someone's laying in a bed together with an infant. The Shaila came up and rolled over on the infant and killed the infant. Is he considered a Ritzayach? It's not Mezid, but it's Shagig. And the halach is that he's considered a Ritzayach. You can't say that I was sleeping. Other mood loyalim. Says the Gemara.
When he juggled, didn't juggle
Sifas Beit Sheva? No, nothing to do with Sifas Beit Sheva. The Gemara is talking about different times of juggling. Chamesh Yisr Malas, there were 15 steps, we said, in the Beis HaMikdash, where they said the 15 Shira Malas. Amalei Rav Chizal Lehumid Rabbonim. Davi Kamasada Darit Gadat HaKamei. He said to this person who was teaching different Agadat to the Gemaras. Amalei Shmuel Chani Chamesh Yisr Malas Kenegim Miram and David. David Melas said 15 Shira Malas, what do they correspond to? Amalei Hoch Amar B'yochan. B'shor Shekar David Shitin. When David was digging the drain, where they would pour the water or the yayin. So Rashi says, we learned the Gemara that they were there Mishesh Shimei Breshes. So Rashi says, either this Bryce doesn't agree with that Shita, or those drains got stuffed up and he was clearing them. He's clearing out those drains. Because Shikar David Shitin, Kofa Taima, Obal Mishtafa Alma. It wanted to come up and completely destroy the world. We'll see in a minute. Why? So the Rashi says, and there's a Rashi Masechta Makos that expounds on it, that there was originally a cheres, there was a piece of earthenware covering that area to prevent it from coming up. And what happened here was that he didn't know what it was, so he touched what he wasn't supposed to touch, and he took it off, and that's when the water came up, and now he did not know what to do. I saw a question. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's never going to bring another Mabel. So how could it be
that the world will be destroyed, L'mishtafa Alma. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll never bring a mabul. By the mabul, water came from the Tahayim, and it came from the Shemayim. Hashem said, I'll never do that again. But that it should come only from the bottom, not from the top, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say. Another pshat I saw is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he'll never bring a mabul as the result of the sin of people. He'll never punish us for our sins that way. Here it wasn't because of a sin. Amar David, Chamesha Shemalas, Shemalas, David HaMelech said 15 Shemalas, Veridon. And they went back down. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Yochi Chamesh Esri Malas, it shouldn't be going up. It should be Yardis Mebele. They went down. So there's a very interesting discussion Daruch Haner brings up. He says a very interesting Yalkut Shemayni. The Yalkut Shemayni says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Mitzrayim, in Yosef was buried in Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu took him out. He didn't know where he was. So how did he know? He threw in a Shem Hashem. So here we're having a discussion if you could throw in the Shem Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu did it. So why is David HaMelech have a question? So the answer is, because Moshe Rabbeinu had made a Shavuah to Yosef. So as he made a Shavuah to, they made a Shavuah, the Shvatim made a Shavuah that they would take him out. So the question is, how can you make a Shavuah to be mevatel as a mitzvah? If it's also to erase Hashem's name, so how can you make such a Shavuah? So says the Aruch Haner, it was before Kabbalah Satayra. So there's no concept of mitzvahs that there's a Shavuah levatel as a mitzvah. As Ruch Chaim Shmuel Levitz, if there's no concept of a Shavuah levatel as a mitzvah, there's also no concept of having to keep your Shavuah. Why do you have to keep a Shavuah? Because it's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvahs. So Ruch Chaim Shmuel Levitz answers, there's a difference, very profound vart. There's a difference before Kabbalah Satayra and after Kabbalah Satayra. Before Kabbalah Satayra, a person could choose which mitzvah he'll follow and which mitzvah he won't follow. So Moshe Rabbeinu was faced with a dilemma. Should he throw Hashem's name in, or should he not throw, or should he follow the Shavuah? So before Kabbalah Satayra, he made a decision that this is the mitzvah he's going to follow. Once Kabbalah Satayra is given, we can't make our own decisions. We have to follow what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. The Shulchan Aruch tells us you're not allowed to make a mitzvah Shavuah. Amalei, how about Garten, Nilsa? You remind us something. Hachiyitma. B'shoah shikara davin shiten, kafa tahayma. The time wanted to come up. Obala mishtafa alma. Amalei, David. Mi'ika di yodi, ishari lichtav shema chaspa. Are you allowed to write Hashem's name on a piece of earthenware? V'nishda b'tahayma. Umanach. And you're allowed to put it in, and like that, have the water subside. So Mepharshim ask two fundamental questions. One question is, it's pikuach nefesh. The world is going to be flooded. What's he asking Shilas? So I saw two answers. One answer is, in Hilchah Shabbos, we discussed this here already. The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara discusses the same thing on Shabbos. If there's a person is sick, pikuach nefesh, it's doicha Shabbos. But what kind of refuah are you allowed to do with Shabbos? You want to go to a doctor, and whatever he has to do, he's supposed to do. But let's do, say, doing a refuah skulis, riding a kameya, running to a rebbe, that you're not allowed to do. This is not a natural way of clearing a flood, and that's why he held you're not allowed to do it when it comes with the shail of erasing Hashem's name. Another teretz that I saw, David HaMelech considered erasing Hashem's name a chil Hashem. And we know that even though the kuch nefesh is doicha kol ha-tayra kula, but it's not doicha chil Hashem. It's not doicha avodah zarah. And that's why he felt it may be better to let the world be destroyed, just not to cause a chil Hashem. But then I saw another question. He wasn't actually erasing Hashem's name. It was only a grumma. By putting the thing there, it'll cause that the name of Hashem should be erased. But grumma we know is mutter. So I saw three terutzim. First of all, David HaMelech thought that maybe again, because we're dealing with Hashem's name, even a grum is usher. Another teretz that I saw is that it wasn't a grum. If you go and you put something with Hashem's name written on it, and you put it in an area where there's such a force of water, it's not a shail if it's going to get erased. It's certainly going to get erased. And that's not called grum. But then I saw another pshat. What is pshat a grum? Very fundamental pshat in grum. Grum is that it happens.
But to set up a situation and then say it's a grumma, that's not called grumma. To go put it there and then the water will flood it, that's not called a grumma. That's called direct. Lekka de kamalei midi. So there was nobody who wanted to respond. So the way Rashi explained that David HaMelech's Rebbe, Achitofel, was there, and David HaMelech did not want to paskin, did not want to render, say a ruling in front of his Rebbe. Omer David, called the Yod Lameima, the Eina Omer, whoever knows an answer to this question and refuses to say it, Yechonek Begroimei, should be choked. So I saw a number of pshatim. What's Yechonek Begroimei? Yechonek Begroimei is, we learned earlier in this parak, that when the water or the wine went down, it looked like a person drinking. So if you're not going to keep those drains, you're causing that the grains should choke. And that's why you should choke. And ultimately, even though Achitofel, as we're going to learn in a moment, gave the psak, still, kilos chochem, afila tanai hiba, and a chochem gives a kalola, even if it was with a stipulation, it came, and that's what ultimately happened to Achitofel. The Aruch HaNer learns Pshat in the Gemara like this. Why didn't David HaMelech want to say the Psak? So we said, Rashi says, because he didn't want to say something in front of his Rebbe. But the Aruch HaNer says like this. We said a moment ago that we were dealing with a situation of a grumma. David HaMelech was very concerned that a grumma should be considered an action. Why was he concerned that a grumma should be considered an action? Because he was the one that caused that Noiv Ira Kahanim should be destroyed, because they gave him refuge, and then Shaul killed out the whole city. So David HaMelech did not, if David HaMelech is going to say anything about a grumma, people will say because he has his own interest in mind. That's why he waited for somebody else to say. So said Achitofel. Nos Achitofel Kavachoyim Batzmi, made the following Kavachoyim. Omar Lasa Shaul Beit Nish Lishtoy. To make peace, we know that if a woman is accused of adultery, the Torah tells us to parasha soita, where do we write Hashem's name, and we have it erased. Omer Torah Shmisha, Nechta B'Kedusha, Yemocha, Alamayim, we erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Las Sholem Chol Olam Kuloi, Alachas Kama V'Kama. Certainly, if Hashem's name may be erased to save the world. And I saw Ramosha Paskins, based on this Gemara. There was a community with limited funds, and they came to ask him, what should they build first? Should they build a shul, or should they build a mikveh? He said a mikveh comes first. Why? Because a mikveh represents shalom bayis, that a husband and wife can have relations. Last shalom comes first. I saw another shaila. Somebody had made a shvua that he's going to divorce his wife. Is he allowed? So is he mechuyev to keep that shvua? Is he allowed to violate that shvua? And they say last shalom, everything is permitted. Amalei. Shari, Kosov Shem Chaspa, so they wrote the Shem on this piece of earthenware, Vishadi Latahima, Vinachas Tahima Shitza Alpha Gemidi. By putting it there, it went down 16,000 amas. Kichaza, the Nachas Tuva, he saw that the water level is so low, Amakama the Midli Tvei Mirtav. The higher the water level, the moister is the ground, and it's important that the ground has some moisture. Amma, Chamesha Simalis, so he said the 15 Shiramalis, Vaska Chamesa Alfe Gamide, so the water went up 15,000 amis, Vokma Ba Alfe Gamide, and now it's 1,000 amis on the ground. Omu Ula, so says Ula, based on this Gemara, Shmamina, Sumka the Ara Alfe Gamide, the water level is 1,000 amis on the ground. Ask the Gemara, V'chazinen, the Karinim Purt of Nafkimaya. Sometimes we just dig a little, and right away we hit water. Here it should be 1,000 amas. Omer HaMashashu, Ahum Sum of the Pras. That means sometimes there's water on top of the mountains, and that water flows down, and that's the water that we encounter right away by digging. But the source of water is 1,000 amas on the ground.
What
is the Gomini to the bombs? I don't know. So we learned that there were 15 steps, and the Kahanim stood by the 10th step, and they said, and they sang. Now I ask the Gemara, what is that 10th step? By Yermia, Lamala Siris, the Nachas Kamisha. Doesn't mean that they walked down 5 steps, the Kaya Sora, and they stood on the 10th step. and that's where they said the Shira Malas. Adoma, the Nachas Asara, they walked down 10 steps, the Kayach Misha, and they stood on the 5th step, and that's where they said the Shira Malas. Says the Marateku, we don't know the answer. Hopefully we'll see Mashiach soon, and we'll know. Tana Rabbanim, Mimashim Shenema. We know that the Mishnah taught us. Just let's quickly review what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah said that when they would leave the Azara, they would say, our forefathers, Achreim al Hechel, they had their back to the Hechel, Ufneim Kedma, and will worship the east to the sun, Mishtachim Kedma, bow down to the sun, V'anu l'kar einenu, we serve Hashem. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Ufneim Kedma. The Pasuk says that they're backward, the phrase, they were facing the sun. So obviously, any idea shechareim al Hashem that the back was facing the base of Mikdash. El matam loimer achareim al Hashem. Why does the pasuk have to specifically say that they were facing the back was to the base of Mikdash? Melamed shayparin atzman matriz and kaplamata. Not only did they face the back face the base of Mikdash, but they would expose themselves to the base of Mikdash and defecate facing the base of Mikdash. So Mefarshim asks an obvious question. It's bad enough that they're worshipping the sun. Why do we have to make them worse? That they would expose and defecate Keneged the Beis HaMikdash. So they saw a pshat like this. What was the result of them doing this? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Such a terrible punishment. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gevaldig gebal rachmanis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous rachmanis on us. Even if they just would have served Avodah Zarah, worshipped Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have just gone and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It was only because they did something so terrible. Not only did they worship Avodah Zarah, but they also acted so terribly disrespectfully to the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, had no choice but to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And they would say, Anu l'ka l'kai neinu. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Gemara, how could they say that? Eini, Vam Rav Zeira, Kolayim Shema Shema, whoever repeats Shema Shema, Kilom Maidim Maidim. The Gemara Masech the Baruch Hu says, you're not supposed to say Maidim Maidim. And whoever says Maidim Maidim is Kfira, because it's if there are two gods. And for the same reason, you're not supposed to say Shema Shema. So the Ritva asks a simple question. Why does the Gemara have to bring Shema? The Gemara said, "Kolayim Maidim." If you say Maidim twice, you're not supposed to say Maidim twice, so they shouldn't say Hashem's name twice. So Ritva says, if the Gemara only quoted the Mishnah that says you're not supposed to say Maidim twice, we would say it's a special din in Maidim. How do we know that it applies in other areas halacha? Says the Gemara, we see that it doesn't only apply to Maidim; it applies to Shema also, and therefore you can never repeat anything. So how did they say Ka twice? Just to review. When we learned Masech the Brachas, there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand the Gemara when it says Kolayim Shema Shema, that you're not supposed to repeat Shema. Some say you're not supposed to say each word, in other words, you're not supposed to say Shema Shema, Yisrael Yisrael, and others say you're not supposed to say the whole pasuk Shema Yisrael Shema Kedesh Shema Echad, and then repeat it. The Shulchan Aruch brings down both shittas. You're not supposed to do either. Ela Hachama, Heim Mishtachvim Kedma, what they used to say, that our forefathers worshipped the sun, v'no l'ka, v'neinu l'ka m'yachlis. So the way the Mefarshim explained like this, it wasn't two sentences. What they were saying like this, onu l'ka, we realize that everything we have comes from Hashem. They thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything they had, v'neinu l'ka m'yachlis, and then they were begging Hashem that you should continue watching, protecting us, and giving us everything we need. Somebody know how to close this?